Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, Change Things Through Prayer. You are studying Lesson 1, Pray All the Time. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. Let's go over to the 18th chapter of the book of Luke once again, and we'll remind ourselves of this scripture talking about Jesus. He spake a parable unto them to this end. All right, he spake this parable unto them to get this over to them. This is the point of it. He spake a parable unto them, and this is the point of it, that men, what men? Any man, all men. The Bible said all men have fallen short of the glory of God, and that's the reason Jesus came. Jesus didn't come for good men. There wasn't any good men. There were a bunch of folks that thought they were so good that God was impressed with them, but Jesus called them hypocrites. No, I don't care who you are, where you are, there is no such thing as a person that can find himself in a position or in a place where he or she cannot pray. Now, I read this to you earlier. In relationship to this, Jesus said, men ought always pray and not faint or give up. One translation says, turn coward and cave in. And all men can do that, not in their own strength, but the Holy Spirit has come to back us and build us and give us His strength in which to pray. Now, just before we started this prayer series, the Lord put this in my heart. I wrote it down and I shared it with you a couple of times. I want to share it with you again today and remind you of it. And let's reinforce the base under which we're studying this prayer series. Prayer is always available. See, Jesus said, men. That's talking, he was using that in relationship to the human race. Men ought always pray and not faint. Prayer is always available to everyone. There is no situation that one can find himself that disqualifies him from prayer. The deepest of sinners in the deepest of sin can, at that moment, still pray the prayer of repentance, and from that point, at that moment, he qualifies to continue into the other fields of prayer because Jesus is a faithful high priest. Praise God. The Bible said he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins when we confess them and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And man, when the moment that that happens, you're ready to pray. I mean, you're ready to continue in prayer. God will hear you pray just the same as he will anybody else. Now, the only situation from which there is no deliverance, the only situation, now listen, say only. The only situation from which there is no deliverance is the rebellious refusal to pray at all. Now, people find themselves in this situation for a number of different reasons, and it's not all because they're just, well, I don't believe in God. I don't have nothing to do with God. Most people, that's not the case. That is a very occasional situation. I'll tell you where most people find themselves is in a position of self-pity, in a position of low self-esteem, depression, oppression brought on by grief or sorrow or drugs or alcohol or sin or whatever it is. Oh, you know, I just God don't care nothing about me. Oh, God won't listen to me when I pray. Well, you may not realize it, my brother, but that's rebellion. Oh, I'm not rebelling. I'm just no good. Well, no, you're not thinking straight, see, because Jesus came and died for the ungodly. Don't make any difference how no good you are. God will hear you pray when you pray that prayer of repentance and rise up in the name of Jesus and accept His strength. The only situation from whence there is no deliverance is the rebellious refusal to pray at all. God's Word is His part of our prayers. And God's Word, which is His part of our prayers, is available to whomsoever will. His mighty name in which we pray, in which we believe, in which we pray the very promises of His Word is being offered to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God. Jesus is the Savior. If you're down and depressed, and I mean you just have to just absolutely make yourself pray and repent, Jesus is the Savior from that. Sickness and disease and the depth of sin, Jesus is the Savior from that. Financial disaster, Jesus is the Savior from that. Can't pray at all, Jesus is the Savior from that. I don't care who you are, what you are, where you are, Jesus is the Savior. Praise God forevermore. Now then, let's take up three other things that we read earlier. This is part of our base, part of our foundation that we laid prior to going into study of any kind of prayer. Three things that must preclude all studies of prayer. These three things must be accepted. They must become standards in your thinking. And it is an absolute must. I don't care what your church said about it. I don't care what your mama said about it. I don't care what your grandma said about it. I don't care what I said about it. I don't care what you said about it. I don't care what anybody said about it. What I'm about to tell you is the truth, and we need to get our thinking in line with these three things before we start to pray, before we start to study prayer, before we ever go to the Bible to read about prayer, because this is what the Bible teaches is a fundamental base of the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, prayer is not trying to get God's attention. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4 and many other places all over the Bible. In 1 Peter, Peter said it like this. He said, God's eyes are over the righteous and His ears are open to their prayers. And the Hebrews 4th chapter said, there's not anything naked before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Nothing goes without God's attention. So prayer is not trying to get God's attention. There's a phrase, I've seen it in a lot of my mail. I've heard it over the years that I've been in the ministry. I've heard people say this, oh, Brother Copeland, could you help me touch God with my problem? My brother, sister, God not ignoring you. God, that's not God. That's not His way. So, well, why don't He do something? Okay, that's step number two. Prayer is not trying to get God to do something. I had a man say to me one time, he said, you know, I about decided I believe God's heals, but he said, I can't figure out how to get Him to do it. Now, boy, there's a lot of people hung up in that. Oh, if I could just see an angel. Oh, if God, oh, Jesus, would You come just touch me? You've heard all kinds of phrases like that. And prayer is not trying to get God to do something. He's already done something. He has already moved. He's already sent Jesus to the cross. He has already sent the Holy Spirit of the living God. He has already defeated the devil. He's already given you His name. He's already given you the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible said, take it. Put it on. He's given you faith. He's given you His Word with which to straighten out your thinking, straighten out your speaking, straighten out your actions and the way you walk, the way you talk, what you think. The Bible said, think on these things whatsoever things are pure, just, honest, good report, if there be any praise, virtue. Think on these things. So it also tells you to cast down imaginations and bring that exalt itself against the Word of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. No, prayer's not trying to get God to do something. He's already done, my brother and sister. All that it takes to cause you to be successful in this life and throughout eternity to come. So, what is prayer? Prayer is communication with God, believing and receiving what He has already given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, all of you that are in the sound of my voice that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you know that was true where being born again was concerned. You didn't have to beg God for 6 weeks to cause you to be born again. You didn't have to go through all that kind of thing. Oh, if I could just only get saved. I guess God will save me whenever He wants to. Oh, I know salvation's for us. Oh, I know maybe it'll happen someday. How would it ever happen? You know better than that. You know enough about the new birth. You've been preached of it enough. You have experienced it enough to know that if you do that, you can go to hell believing that it's there. Somebody said, Well, that's crazy, Brother Copeland. I mean, you know, all you have to do is just ask Jesus to come into your heart and believe that He's been raised from the dead. Repent, renounce sin, thou shalt be saved. How come? When I went, whoa, how come that's true? Because God has already sent Jesus to the cross. He don't have to go again. He has already raised Him from the dead. He doesn't have to do that again. And if you'll read in the book of Romans in the 10th chapter, it will tell you that. And it will also tell you faith, which is of righteousness, does not say who can bring Christ down again. Who can raise Christ up from the dead again? What does it say? It said it is nigh thee, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Praise God. You understand that? Prayer is words. Prayer is in your mouth. It's already there. It's as close to you as your breath. Well, why is this so important, brother? Well, let me give you the general mental condition of Christian people and the kind of prayers that they pray. That let me just read that to you from the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, then I want to go over here and show you something else. The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Oh, Lord, if You'd just come touch my fevered brow. If I could just see You, I'd just know it is real and that it was for me. No, you could have found that out from the Word. See, and it would have built faith in your heart. It says, what does it say? It says, the Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, the Word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto it. Now, relate that. Now, here's the generalized mental condition that the way most Christians think is like this. Oh, brother, would you pray with me? Oh, sure, I'll pray with you. Brother, I prayed all night long last night, but it just didn't seem like my prayers got any higher than the ceiling. Well, now, wait a minute. Compare that to that. Who shall bring Christ down from above? Oh, yeah, but I just don't know that it's His will for me to be healed. I just don't know it's His... Wait a minute. Who's going to bring Christ up again from the dead? You're saying that it didn't work out the first time. Oh, no, brother, I'm not saying that. I know you're not trying to say that, but I'm telling you, our thinking is not going right if it's not going in line with the Word of God. And when it's not going in line with the Word of God, it'll block your faith and cut it off. What does the Bible teach us? Oh, brother, it just doesn't seem like my prayers got any higher than the ceiling. There it is again. Who's going to bring Christ down from above? That's the general attitude of most Christian people
without realizing it, we've established that as a general way of thinking, and we act on it as if it was a fact, that we're praying to God way off over here. Well, sure, He's way off over there, but our prayers don't have to, in our own thinking, see, that's wrong. Actually, our prayers do go before the very throne of Almighty God, where He is in heaven. But listen, we don't have to shoot them up there. Are you listening to me? Woo! Boy, mine are just not getting there. Wait a minute. Whoa. They don't have to get any higher in your nose. Amen. He's here. The one that is there is also here by the Spirit of the living God, who is our intercessor, our standby, our strengthener. He's the one that bridges the gap between heaven and earth. I'm not concerned about getting my prayers to heaven. I'm just concerned about praying according to the Word of God. That's the Spirit of God's job, doing all that business. That's not even my job, man. Ain't my job, man. So I ain't gonna worry about that. Amen. I'm just going to pray in the name of Jesus, according to the Word and the promises of God. And I'm through, brother. I am through whatever barriers that would stop my prayers from going into the very throne room of Almighty God. Why? Because the heart of God is in me, and I am in Him, and He is here inside me. He surrounds and He fills and permeates the very air that we breathe. Now, let's go over to the book of Ephesians. We've got time enough today left to introduce this. And then tomorrow we'll go ahead and take this up and begin to plow this first row, this first furrow, and sink our plow down in this, boy. And I mean really, really do some digging. You're going to enjoy this. Ephesians, we'll read in the 6th chapter. We have weapons of our warfare. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are powerful through God for the pulling down of strongholds. But now notice this, the weapons of our warfare are not used against people. That's not where the problems lie. That's not the way we ought to be praying. You ought not be praying against somebody. Don't ever do that. Oh, man, you can just get into more trouble. You'll open more doors for the devil, and God will get the blame for it than you can imagine. Oh, God, I just pray that you get him down so far that he can only look up. You're going to destroy somebody praying like that, because God's not the dammer. Don't you understand that? Don't you understand that to use God's name and to use the word damn together is using God's name in vain? If it's vain, then why? Because he's not the dammer. That's not the way he works, my brother. The Bible says if you have people that are unsaved, Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest, get laborers into the field. He said if you're going to spoil a strong man's house, first bind him. That's the devil. Bind the devil. You spirit operating in the life of Uncle Fred, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I render you helpless to keep my uncle out of the kingdom of God. Now, Father, you know who Uncle Fred will listen to. I'm asking you to get laborers across his path. I don't care where you have to go to get them. Get laborers across his path with the Word of the living God, because it's the Word that causes men and women to be saved. It is the Word that gets down in the human heart. It is the anointed Word of God that is the seed that men and women get born again, that is that seed that is not corruptible, but powerful through God. Amen. Now then, in the book of Ephesians, finally, my brethren, the 10th verse, 6th chapter, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The word translated might right there means the ability to accomplish anything in which there is nothing impossible. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His ability to accomplish anything. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able. That you may be enabled with His might so that you can stand in that power of His that will accomplish anything. To stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Now notice this, we're standing against the wiles of the devil. Now the problem with us a lot of times is the fact that the devil uses people. But your enemy are not people. Everybody'd turn to God if it wasn't for the devil. I mean, he's the only thing making people like they are. He's the source of it. He is what's behind it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying. All that's prayer armor. Prayer armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, with all prayer. If you study that a little bit, look it up in your concordance and look that phrase up in other translations, like the Amplified Translation, and a number of others, you'll find that it says praying always with all different kinds of prayer. And on this study, we're going to take up the different kinds of prayer. Prayer that changes things. Prayer of thanksgiving and praise. Prayer of dedication and worship, and different forms of prayer. We're going to take up these different kinds of prayer because they are fielded on the field of faith, but they're fielded with different spiritual rules. That one that governs one type of prayer can be different from those that govern other types of prayer. So on tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to take up right there. And we're going to go ahead on this thing. You ought to be VCR and all of this. You ought to be taping it some way or other where you can go back over it again and again and again. You're not going to get it in just this one little 30-minute broadcast. You're going to have these things. Let's pray. Let's believe God together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for this television audience. I pray, according to your word that says Jesus will make us whole, spirit and soul and body. And I pray over their finances to be whole in their financial lives. I pray that they be made whole in their family lives, their marriages, their all the different things, racial problems, everything that is a problem to any person in the sound of my voice. And I'm asking you for their deliverance today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now you get in that and you pray and you believe God. You get in the Word. You fill in the blanks. The places that I don't know you personally, and say, I thank you, Lord, for my deliverance, and I agree with Brother Copeland. Amen.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.